a tactic to tame some of that travel turbulence. We begin live inside Pearson Airport, where this is a new flight path for Canadian passengers, the removal of additional rules. Good evening. Starting Monday, COVID-19 vaccines will no longer be required for travelers in Canada.
Another move away from mandates as more families look to take that first trip in a long time. Let's start with what's changing and what isn't. Here's CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver.
Demand for travel is about to take off as the federal government lifts vaccine mandates for domestic travel and outbound international flights.
All the other countries in the world pretty much have already done it, so we're last.
As long as I have my mask, I feel better than not having it.
I still prefer have the vaccine, because this is protect us, right? It's protect everyone, right? If cancel, a little bit risk.
Starting June 20th, unvaccinated Canadian travelers will be able to board a train or a plane. The rules for incoming travelers, though, are not changing, meaning unvaccinated individuals entering Canada will still need to isolate for 14 days. All travelers will still need to use the Arrive Canada app.
It's clear that the COVID situation is not the same now as it was last fall when we implemented the vaccine mandate.
The policy change extends to the public sector too. Employers like the RCMP can no longer require vaccination as a condition of employment.
Employees who are on administrative leave without pay as a result of the vaccination policy will be contacted by their managers to resume regular duties with pay.
The tourism and airline industries welcome the news as a step forward, but warn the restriction removal is likely to cause more delays at passport offices and airports.
The government says the mandates are being suspended and that they can come back at any time if new variants arrive. For now, mask mandates will remain in place on trains, planes, and cruise ships. Annie Bergeron-Oliver, CTV News, Ottawa.
And when it comes to those delays at airports, it seems like Toronto has been the hub.
No shortage of horror stories from people caught in the chaos. Everyone now wondering whether these changes will make a difference. CTV's John Musselman is live at Pearson tonight with more on that. John.
Well, Michelle, everyone is hoping it will make a difference. We've been here all day. We're entering a busy phase right now. A lot of people we talk to say it's about time. Others are still a little bit anxious about all of this.
Passengers inside Terminal 1 today are expressing mixed views on the news that vaccine mandates for domestic travel on planes and trains and on outgoing international travel will be suspended.
I'm a little nervous because I don't know that everybody will be vaccinated on the flight, so.
Still prefer have the vaccine, because this is protect us, right? It's protect everyone, right?
I think I'm amongst the unvaccinated a lot of times anyway.
I'm excited about the new policy. It's time to get on and get going, and we're looking forward to kind of having this freedom.
The announcement came down today and will take effect on June 20th. Pearson has been dealing with major delays due to a significant surge in passenger traffic. The government has been facing pressure to reduce constraints around travel to ease these delays.
It's going to be only positive. I mean, if there are, in fact, over 5 million unvaccinated individuals in Canada, what that's saying now is that those who could not get on a plane or a train before are now going to use travel and are going to go away, which opens up a small problem as to how is the airports or train stations, for that matter, going to handle it. But I guess it's a positive, and that's all that matters right now.
The National Advisory Committee on Immunization has suggested waiting a minimum of 3 months after infection before getting a dose, so you'd prohibit so many people from traveling.
Officials with the Greater Toronto Airport Authority welcome the news, calling this a step in the right direction. Quote, of course, there is more that can and should be done to address the delays that airports are facing, including moving all health checks outside the airport.
I like the fact that most people are vaccinated, but on the other hand, people are entitled to their own choice, their own opinions on the matter. So, freedom, I guess. That's the essence of it all, and we see where it takes us. Hopefully it won't lead to any more spiking of cases.
I think it's something that we have to learn to live with, because I don't think that COVID is going away anytime soon.
My own opinion, I think if you're coming from internationally, you still have to be vaccinated because they could bring in anything. So it's just for our own benefit and for our own safety.
All reentry requirements will remain in place for international destinations. And one other thing that hasn't changed is mask mandates. If you're coming to Pearson Terminal 1 or 3, you will need to have a mask. You'll be checked at security. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Straight ahead, airport confusion of a different kind. What's being revealed about an incident on a runway at Pearson involving two Air Canada planes. The unsettling chain of events you'll want to hear.
Next to a moment that could be historic. An apology expected from Toronto's police chief, the force set to release never-before-seen statistics aimed at combating systemic racism. There have been long been calls for change when it comes to how officers interact with people of color.
Tomorrow's report will reveal the extent to which race has played a role in use of force and strip searches and the overrepresentation of specific communities. CTV's Sean Leithong is live outside police headquarters with more. Sean, what are we learning here?
Well, Michelle, we're finding out, of course, that we're expecting that apology to come tomorrow, but there's much more data to come along with it that's been researched for the last year and a half. And they're planning to use that data to eliminate systemic racism within the Toronto Police Services.
CTV has learned that an apology is expected tomorrow from Interim Police Chief James Raymer, as the Toronto Police Service is releasing results of a study focused on race-based data related to use of force and strip searches. Since January of 2020, Toronto Police have been collecting race-based data after all police forces were directed to do so by the provincial government. The objective was to identify, measure, and ultimately eliminate systemic racism. Race relations with police have come much more into focus largely since May of 2020, when George Floyd was killed by a police officer in Minnesota, sparking protests all over the United States and here in Canada. Most notably, that summer, then Police Chief Mark Saunders took a knee with protesters here in Toronto. Interim Chief Raymer will meet with reporters at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow to discuss the results of the race-based data collection strategy.
And after tomorrow comes implementation, and the Toronto Police, in their publicly available data, says that they have misused race-based information in the past. Now they're hoping that this information will help them work deeply, more deeply, with communities. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. Michelle, send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. And our online team will be following every aspect of tomorrow's report. You can find that coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca. Next to a Toronto police officer under the microscope and the focus of CTV News Investigates.
A drug trafficking case collapsing after the officer wouldn't provide surveillance video in the case to prosecutors and couldn't explain why. CTV's John Woodward joins us now, and there are lots of people were looking for this video, John.
Yeah, Andrea, it's a video broadcast right here. We would love to show you the video, but the issue is it went missing. And that ended up being one factor that upended a Toronto drug case and has one Toronto officer facing allegations of deceit.
And so
14 Divisions Detective Clayton Adams was supervising the execution of a drug warrant here at these towers on West Lodge Avenue in 2020. Police alleged at the time they found enough fentanyl to lay three charges against a 50-year-old man.
I had suspicions that...
His lawyer, Jeff Hirschberg, wanted to see surveillance video of the bust. Building management told them they gave it to the police, so he asked prosecutors for it and was surprised to hear...
Soon after that, Crown contacts me and advises that they're going to be staying the charges against my client.
Behind the scenes, Crown lawyers had been doing their own digging for that video, according to a notice of hearing filed with the Toronto Police Service directed at Detective Adams, alleging on February 26, 2020, the Crown Attorney's Office requested a copy of the security video from you pertaining to a matter before the courts. You refused to provide a copy of the video, indicating that the video was collected in relation to a separate investigation. In a series of emails from February 27th to April 1st, 2020, you mislead the Crown in relation to the video. They say Adams claimed the video was unrelated, then was erased, then that it was irrelevant, which frustrated Crown Counsel enough they made a complaint, and the TPS charged Adam with deceit and discreditable conduct.
This was a miscommunication and misunderstanding between the parties. It's now going to be resolved internally.
Adams' lawyer, Peter Browdy, says the video was overwritten because officers at 14 Division don't have enough USB sticks to track evidence. He said a copy was found eventually, but Crown stayed the charges anyway.
They should want to get to the bottom of it. That's what they should want to do.
Former defense lawyer Peter Biro said he worried of echoes of some of the serious corruption of Toronto's Central Field Command drug squad he dealt with years ago, which resulted in criminal convictions of some police officers.
Adams' lawyer tells us the disciplinary hearing, which was scheduled for next week, may be adjourned as he and the discipline authorities discuss a possible agreement. The video may be played there to see what could be on it that was worth all this. Reporting live, I'm John Woodward. Back to you.
Thanks, John. And we want to hear from you. If there are stories you want us to look into, here are some ways to reach us. You can call 416-384-6397 or send an email to investigate@ctv.ca. You can also visit our website for other secure and anonymous options. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca/investigates.
Could there be some relief coming to those massive lineups and delays when it comes to getting a passport? The federal government says it is looking at options to deal with the backlog.
Meanwhile, there is some slight relief at the pumps on the way. Gas prices are expected to fall 5 cents overnight. Dan McTagg of Canadians for Affordable Energy says drivers will be paying $2.79 a litre tomorrow. The price of gas has broke records the last 2 weekends.
Let's take a look outside on this lovely evening as the GTA prepares to feel some summer-like heat and humidity. It is on the way. Jessica Smith is here with a look at the current conditions. Jessica, summer doesn't officially start until next week, but it's sure going to feel like it this week.
Most definitely. Those humidex values getting into the day tomorrow into the mid-30s, close to the mid-40s for some communities. So yes, we like the heat, but it can be dangerous when it gets this hot, so just be careful spending time outdoors. Really not a cloud in the sky. It's been a beautiful day start to finish, but we are looking at some heat warnings in place stretching from Windsor all the way up towards kind of Hamilton, Kitchener, Waterloo area. Toronto not under one right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it creeps into our area because it's going to be hot. Around the Golden Horseshoe, those humidex values into the kind of low to mid 20 range, but it only increases heading into the day tomorrow. Through the islands and over towards Pearson, it is around 21, 24. Tonight, pretty seasonal, but that changes into the day tomorrow. Coming up, I'll have more on that long range forecast. Michelle.
Thank you, Jessica. Well, there are new details tonight about how two Air Canada planes narrowly missed colliding at Pearson Airport.
More than 400 passengers on board at the time of the near crash. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us live now with the details. Raheem.
Well, Andrea, this is a bizarre incident that involves everything from a bird to a split-second coincidence. But thankfully, no one was injured.
It was just before 10 a.m. on March 7th, 2020, and an Air Canada flight with 83 passengers was preparing for takeoff to Denver. But as it accelerated, the Embraer 190 plane struck a bird. The flight crew initiated what's called a rejected takeoff and radioed in to let the controller know. However, air traffic control missed the call because at the exact same moment, a Boeing 777 en route to Halifax was getting ready to take off on the same runway.
It's like the Swiss cheese effect. All the holes line up at that specific moment. It's rare that it does happen, but it did in this case.
The Boeing, carrying 345 passengers, was cleared for takeoff. It traveled half the runway, reaching a maximum speed of 231 kilometers per hour, when it noticed the plane in front and slammed on the brakes.
The pilot lands and he hits the brakes really hard. You go forward in your seat. Well, that's what it's going to feel like.
The two aircraft was 5,000 feet apart.
So they're kind of going together like this, but he's slowing down.
An investigation found the Embraer 190's transponder transmitted that the aircraft was in air after the aircraft accelerated past 50 knots. As a result, although compliant with current standards, an inaccurate in-air status was transmitted for approximately 52 seconds, while the aircraft remained on the ground during its takeoff roll and rejected takeoff.
If Air Canada was still on the runway and he had got below 50 knots, then it would have got a ground signal, tower.
There were no injuries and no damage to either aircraft.
Now, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada has made the manufacturers of the transponder systems aware of its findings, and NAV Canada has also told its tower personnel in Toronto that alerts may not always be accurate and so to monitor more closely. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Andrea, back to you.
Thanks, Raheem. It is a lineup no one wants to find themselves in, especially if you're running out of time before a big trip. More evidence of big demand for passports. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Andrea, no lineup here now, and that's only because the passport office closed more than 2 hours ago. For most of the day, the line stretched down the end of the block and around. maybe adding more times when people could get those passports or adding more staff. Those are some of the things that the minister in charge is suggesting they're looking into, but she couldn't offer any deadline or timeline on when that might happen. So that's of little consolation to people who spent most of the day standing on this sidewalk.
Another day, another long line outside the downtown passport office.
Oh my God, it's bad. I started across the corner there.
Vera Espinola is trying to renew her daughter's passport after standing in line for 3 hours. She still wasn't even inside the building.
It's ridiculous. Like, this is way too much. They need to figure something else out.
It's an issue that's been plaguing would-be travelers for months. Long lines at passport offices and long backlogs in processing times.
It's ridiculous. Like, I don't think so if they can do it. So it's just a waste of time for them, right? So they need to do something for this.
The minister responsible says Ottawa is working to hire more staff and increase the times in which people can apply in person. She says 85% of applications are for new passports, which require more time and resources. As for when the issue might be resolved, the minister couldn't offer a date.
It's a lot of waiting. But honestly, I don't know the solution.
Passport Canada is now providing estimated walk-in wait times on their website. This morning, the lines at this office were estimated to be 6 hours long. The longest waits in the GTA were in Mississauga, with an estimated wait time of 6.5 hours, the shortest in North York at 4 hours.
I decided just to bring the chair just to wait.
This woman brought a chair sitting for hours instead of standing.
Messed up and exhausted, but I don't know if I'm going to get the number.
Many worried by the time they got inside, they might not even get what they had come for.
It's too hard to get a passport. And then somebody came down and said there's a 50-50 chance that you will get it. So it sucks.
By mid-afternoon, the line had shortened. Sue Menard said she decided to avoid the early rush and came after lunch, still prepared for a wait.
I did all my homework. I've got everything filled out. I've got all my documents, and I've got my book, and I've got water, and I'm sitting. So I'm not the least bit frustrated. But I think it's the secret to doing this is be prepared to wait.
And Sue's homework did pay off. She got in a lot faster than a lot of people. And if you look at the wait times this afternoon, they were about half of what they were this morning. But a warning, don't come right at the end of the day. The office closes at 4, but they do cut it off before that so that they can get staff out. They are not waiting way past the end of business day. Reporting live downtown, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Andrea, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Residents of a community housing complex are hoping to get some answers about their future.
Forced to leave and relocate over safety issues following a ceiling collapse at Swansea Mews. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live with more. Beth.
Michelle, a meeting will be getting underway in the auditorium behind me shortly. Four tenants of Swansea Mews. The city will be presenting a plan where families can stay while the ceiling that collapsed is being repaired. And it comes after 2 weeks of frustration for residents who stayed behind and relocated.
I feel like it.
Turn the light on, light.
I'm trying to save hydro, but...
A student dormitory, now home temporarily. This mom provided a two-bedroom unit for her and one child, the other child staying across the hall.
I can't complain because
I have a big space.
I got bigger space.
She's one of dozens of Toronto community housing tenants relocated because the ceiling collapsed 2.5 weeks ago at Swansea Mews, a 15-minute drive away.
My little guy, he was unable to get a bus until tomorrow. He's been out of school for a whole week, and he's special needs, and he needs to be on that routine.
On Sunday, a city order deemed the 154-unit complex unsafe, which means those who initially stayed behind now have to leave. This domestic violence survivor has 3 children and says she's been given nowhere to go.
They've been cutting the ceilings and units close by, so I'm having issues breathing in the night, and my children had to stay home from school because they haven't been able to sleep because they're having issues with breathing.
Meanwhile, those displaced at the student residence have been told they have less than 2 weeks to figure out where to go next.
Our anxiety is high.
The unit's not fully meeting everyone's needs as it is.
Kitchenette, 1 washroom. This is perfectly fine for a college student. This is perfectly adequate for a college student. Yeah. However, a family, for example, a mom of 4, this is not a living condition for anyone.
Back at Swansea Mews, some tenants say the conditions are also unacceptable from ongoing mold and rodent infestations. The city tells CTV News these concerns are legitimate and admits the Muse has been in bad shape. But the problem with the ceiling dates back to the construction of the complex over 40 years ago and is a real threat.
The town hall meeting is meant to be exactly an instrument to help in that communication, to get feedback from the residents.
The city says it's working to find places for everyone. It had planned to retrofit the Muse next year. We're told 78 households at Swansea Muse still need to relocate. We're told 26 households have moved temporarily. Many are hoping tonight's meeting will find a solution for everyone. Reporting live, I'm Beth Magdanell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Federally regulated businesses could be penalized if they fail to meet the requirements of a new cybersecurity bill tabled today.
Cyber incidents above a certain threshold will be required to be reported, and the government will be able to compel companies to respond to cyber threats to protect their customers and employees.
The Liberal legislation would require businesses and organizations to bolster their systems against a variety of threats. They include cyber attacks, electronic espionage, and ransomware. Sectors that would fall under this legislation are finance, telecommunications, energy, and transport. Bill C-26 also proposes the use of audit powers, fines, and criminal penalties if necessary.
High school students in Ontario and three other provinces will be trained to help save lives in the face of increasing opioid overdoses. The students will learn about the drugs and how to recognize a suspected opioid overdose. They'll also be taught how to respond and administer naloxone, a drug used to reverse the effects of overdoses. In the fall, training will be available for up to 350,000 students in Alberta, BC, Quebec, and Ontario. The voluntary program will be expanded later to other provinces. It's being offered by the Advanced Coronary Treatment Foundation. The organization already offers free CPR and defibrillator training in high schools.
The World Health Organization will meet next Thursday to determine if the monkeypox outbreak should be considered a global health emergency.
I think it's now clear that there is unusual situation, meaning even the virus is behaving unusually from how it used to behave in the past. But not only that, it's also affecting more and more countries. We believe that it needs also some coordinated response because of the geographic spread.
An emergency committee of experts will assess whether to apply the WHO's highest level of warning to monkeypox. Currently, only the COVID-19 pandemic and polio have that designation. There are 18 confirmed cases in Toronto.
Ukraine says its forces are still trying to evacuate civilians from Severodonetsk. All three bridges leading from the city have now been destroyed by the Russians. Ukrainian officials say a mass evacuation of civilians is not possible due to relentless shelling and fighting. About 12,000 people remain in the city. More than 500 civilians are sheltering in the Azot chemical plant, which officials say is being pounded by the enemy.
In the U.S., there are some bombshells emerging from the House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection, and some of it is coming from former U.S. President Donald Trump's own circle. CTV's Washington Bureau Chief Joy Malbin reports.
It was stunning. I mean, basically, they're using Trump's own people, his inner circle, Republican loyalists, against him. And I remember that election night so clearly when Donald Trump came up and declared that he won. According to Liz Cheney and several other witnesses, including Bill Stepien, the campaign manager, and others, they claim that Donald Trump ignored all of their advice, saying, look, the votes are still being counted. Don't prematurely say you won. Don't go out there and declare victory. But instead, Donald Trump took advice from, and I'm quoting here from Liz Cheney, an inebriated Rudy Giuliani. In other words, other witnesses said that he was drunk that night on election night, although Giuliani's lawyer says that's not true. And they paint this picture of Trump looking for people who would support his idea about election fraud, these false claims that somehow he won the election, that there were ballots stuffed with Biden votes, all sorts of outlandish theories like the Chinese were controlling thermostats and controlling votes. I mean, it's just outlandish stuff. You know, Bill Barr was really the star witness yesterday, saying that, this was all BS, as he said, bogus, idiotic. And at one point, he said, at one point, he thought, is he delusional? Has he lost his mind? It was really stunning testimony.
It has been the subject of a diplomatic dispute between Canada and Denmark for decades. But today, an agreement was signed to share Hans Island.
Now we have a new land and maritime border, almost 4,000 kilometers, the longest maritime border in the world. And also, we've been able to settle the issue of this small but important island in the Arctic, which is called Hans Island. So it's a win-win-win. It's a win for Canada, it's a win for Denmark and Greenland. It is a win also for Indigenous people.
Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly inked the deal with her Danish counterpart. A border will be drawn across the uninhabited 1.3 square kilometer Arctic island. It's located between Greenland and Ellesmere Island and is traditional hunting territory for Canadian and Greenlandic Inuit. The agreement means Canada and Denmark will share a land border for the first time.
In Montana, raging floodwaters began to slowly recede today across the Yellowstone region, but not before destroying numerous structures. A vacated house was pulled into a river and floated away mostly intact. There have been multiple rescues as residents and tourists were left stranded by this flooding. Roads and bridges have also been knocked out by torrential rains that swelled waterways to record levels. There have been no reports of injuries or fatalities. Yellowstone National Park has been closed indefinitely. And happy the elephant is staying put. New York's top court has issued a ruling in a case that tested the boundaries of applying human rights to animals. It decided this pachyderm may be intelligent and deserving of compassion, but she cannot be considered a person being illegally confined to the Bronx Zoo. The group that launched the case says it's pleased at least two of the judges agreed that Happy has legal rights.
Coming up, a touching gesture in an effort to raise awareness. The school head shave event looking to shed light on a lesser known reason why people lose their hair.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, there are many new electric vehicles coming to market, but even with record high gas prices, many Canadians say they're not interested in buying one. More Americans would rather buy an electric car than most Canadians. I'll have the results of a new survey. That's just ahead.
A beautiful night to get out for a walk. If you want to head out around 7 p.m., 24 feeling like 26 and comfortable as we head through the rest of our evening. But the heat is on as we head into the day tomorrow, and we're watching for our Humidex values to climb into the mid-30s. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
A new survey on electric vehicles shows Americans are much more interested in buying an electric car than Canadians.
Even with record high gas prices, many people are still concerned about how much they cost, how they're affected by the cold, and how far they can travel. Pat Foran has this story tonight on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Thanks, Michelle and Andrea. Many Canadians are interested in hybrid vehicles, which offer a gas and electric combination. And while fully electric vehicles are getting better all the time, more than half of drivers asked say they wouldn't want one that only plugs in. The only thing you can hear from this all-electric Ford Lightning pickup truck is the sound of its wheels on a gravel road. This truck is expected to have a major impact on the electric vehicle market, along with other new offerings from all major automakers. But even with more charging stations being installed across the country, a survey by J.D. Power finds more than half of Canadians, 53%, say they're very unlikely or somewhat unlikely to consider an electric vehicle.
The cost is going to remain a significant barrier.
Price remains an issue for many considering going all electric. A $5,000 federal incentive remains for EV buyers, but Ontario has scrapped its EV rebates. Across the country, some provinces offer them while others don't. 61% say they're unlikely to buy an electric vehicle based on price. Another reason Canadians are concerned about EVs, our long Canadian winters and extreme temperatures, which could affect performance.
In Canada, you know, it gets cold for about half of the year, and everybody knows what happens to battery performance in the cases where it's cold.
Canadians remain concerned about range issues and are worried they could run out of power before they get to where they need to go. 65% say they're unlikely to buy an electric vehicle based on their range anxiety. Another reason many Canadians don't want to switch to a pure EV is because they've never driven or even sat in one. Once they do, they're more open to EV ownership.
Manufacturers really should do everything they can to get Canadians in these vehicles and allow them to experience them for themselves.
Even with gas prices at over $2 a liter, many drivers will need more information and financial incentives before they go completely electric. And the survey found the province most interested in switching to electric vehicles is British Columbia. Ontario drivers seem to be on the fence, and the residents of Atlantic Canada are least interested in going all electric. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
In Spain, there is no let up as the earliest heat wave in more than 40 years continues. Temperatures are topping 40 degrees in parts of central and southern Spain. The stifling heat is being blamed on a cloud of hot air from North Africa. In the U.S., a dangerous heat wave hit much of the Midwest and south today. More than 100 million people could be affected by midweek.
So, of course, we see that weather and that heat. And, Jessica, we are going to be getting some heat, but I hope nothing like that.
No, not quite like that. We are looking at a heat event settling in as we head into the day tomorrow and through Thursday, but we won't be getting quite that hot. But just be prepared for those humidex values to jump up. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. Now, we've seen this heat really build in as we've made our way throughout the day. It's comfortable, but that really changes as we head into the day tomorrow. Humidex values right now in towards kind of Windsor, for example, closer to the mid-30s. Areas kind of right along the Golden Horseshoe, we're sitting around 26. Toronto, we're at 24. We're feeling like 26, so not all that bad. But as we head into the day tomorrow, a shift really takes place. Tonight, we're pretty close to seasonal. We should be at 14. We're climbing to 16. But by 5:35 a.m. tomorrow, already 20 degrees. This is thanks to this ridge building into our forecast. It's going to bring this warm air from the south over us here in Toronto, the GTA, much of southern Ontario. And those humidex values tomorrow getting downright dangerous in some areas. Yes, we love the heat. We love the summertime, but just enjoy it safely. Now, as we kind of make our way into the day tomorrow, there is the chance of some pop-up thunderstorm activity just because all of this heat and humidity building in, it is just kind of what happens in the summertime, right? The humidex valley in Windsor tomorrow will feel like 45 degrees. For Toronto, it's going to feel like 32. So everybody's feeling this kind of really massive boost in our temperatures. Generally, we're looking at a pretty clear night ahead of us, and that continues into at least the start of the day tomorrow. A warm front makes its way through, but a line of showers is following a cold front that is going to track in to at least portions of northern Ontario. It will likely trickle down a little further south, but we're watching for scattered shower activity really throughout the majority of our day. So tonight, a great night to get out, go for a walk, just make sure you hydrate accordingly. Getting into kind of the rest of our evening, if you're going to barbecue, a great night to do that as well. But getting into tomorrow morning, we're watching for the first of kind of a few chances of pockets of active weather. So the kind of oranges and yellows you see there, that's the potential of some thunderstorm activity crossing the GTA. Getting into the lunch hour, a little bit of a break, but the chance of showers sticks around. Heading in towards 6 p.m., again, great to barbecue. It's going to be pretty hot, but great to be outside. As we head into the early morning hours on Thursday, the chance of a few pop-up showers, again, off and on throughout the day. And then it clears out, and we're looking at a pretty beautiful end to the week. Wednesday, Thursday, the chance of shower activity is there just because it is so hot, and that kind of recipe for summertime thunderstorms is there. The humidex value tomorrow, close to 32. It could even creep up to 40 for us here in Toronto as we head throughout the day tomorrow. And then getting in towards the weekend, we're holding on to sunshine. Father's Day, beautiful. So for all the dad figures out there, it's going to be a really beautiful day to celebrate you, and then getting in towards the start of summer, not too bad. Andrea.
Thanks, Jess. Also tonight, the Just for Laughs lineup revealed. The big names coming to town this fall for the 10th anniversary of the Toronto Festival.
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
Years ago, people started shaving their heads in support of people undergoing cancer treatment.
Today, students and staff at a Toronto school held a similar event to show support for people with alopecia. CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan was there.
Right down the middle.
Students were abuzz at Brébeuf College this morning as two students and a teacher got their heads shaved.
Oh, I feel great. I feel fresh. What are you doing?
Lighter.
Yeah, definitely lighter. It's not going to get into my eyes anymore.
The event was organized by Gianpaolo Capozzi, a student with alopecia areata.
Well, I've had alopecia all my life. I was first diagnosed when I was 3 years old, when I'd lost all my hair on my body. I had no eyebrows, no hair whatsoever.
And he says he sometimes gets stares or people asking if he has cancer.
People don't know about alopecia. They know about cancer, they know about all this other stuff that causes hair loss, but they have no idea what alopecia is, which is a problem.
So Capozzi asked his teachers about organizing an awareness day.
Especially having students that have this autoimmune condition, raising awareness and educating is vital so that we have an inclusive community that celebrates our diversity.
Well, the reason I decided to do this is because a lot of teens nowadays feel uncomfortable in their bodies, whether it's their weight, size, looks, appearance, hair, anything. I feel like by doing this, I can help inspire people to maybe learn a bit that everyone is beautiful in their own way, and regardless of how you look, you're all the same.
Gianpaolo is in grade 11, so he has one more year here at the school, but he's hoping to make this an annual event.
I'd like to make alopecia mainstream in society, so everybody knows about it, and that people who have alopecia can find solace in the fact that everyone knows about the condition.
Pauline Chan, CTV News.
There will be some major talent taking the stage for the 10th anniversary of the Just for Laughs Festival in Toronto. Trevor Noah, John Mulaney, and Amy Schumer are just some of the funny folks who'll be taking part in this fall's in-person festival. Just for Laughs Toronto passes are already on sale. Single tickets are available starting Friday. The festival runs from September 22nd to October 1st.
One of the biggest musical acts on the planet is taking a break. BTS has been together for 9 years, and now they decided to switch gears to work on some solo projects. It might not be great news for fans, but the K-pop band says it's a good thing. They say time apart will help them be even better when they get back together.
Meanwhile, one of the biggest selling artists ever is a dad for the first time. Post Malone is the proud papa of a new baby girl. The 26-year-old rapper revealed last month that his girlfriend was expecting. The Grammy nominee says they are engaged and he is now the happiest he has ever been.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody. Active TO's impact on drivers. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast. With complaints over congestion, Mayor Tory on what's next for the cycling program. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
Updating our top stories, Toronto's police chief is expected to issue an apology on Wednesday as the service releases the results of a study focused on race-based data related to the use of force and strip searches. No details from the report have been made public. Toronto police began collecting race-based data in January of 2020.
After a thoughtful, deliberate, prudent discussions, we've reached this decision. So it's what Canadians expect us to do. We will always err on the side of public health and safety.
Ottawa will suspend COVID-19 vaccine mandates for domestic and outbound international travelers, as well as federally regulated workers. The new rules will take effect on Monday, June 20th, though foreign nationals coming into Canada will still need to be vaccinated.
It's like the Swiss cheese effect. All the holes line up at that specific moment. It's rare that it does happen, but it did in this case.
Canada's Transportation Safety Board says two Canadian airplanes, two Air Canada planes, nearly collided at Pearson Airport in March. A report says the planes almost ran into each other on the runway after one flight crew and air traffic control missed a radio call about an aborted takeoff. Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, North American markets are oscillating between gains and losses after yesterday's steep sell-off. With more, here's Kamutha Ramanathan from BNN Bloomberg.
It was a mixed picture on Bay and Wall Street on Tuesday as investors wait for tomorrow's news out of the U.S. Federal Reserve. On Monday, markets sold off on fears that the influential Fed could potentially hike interest rates more aggressively as early as tomorrow to cool inflation. The underlying fear is that larger moves would tip the world's largest economy into a recession and that other nations, including Canada, could follow the same path. In Toronto, energy players including Suncor and Novus went from being TSX leaders in early trading to being among the laggards on the index at the market close. That's as OPEC warned that it sees oil demand growth being cut in half next year amid rampant inflation and the war in Ukraine. And crypto stocks continue to take a beating as investors free riskier assets. Bitcoin has fallen 25% in the past 5 days alone and is now at its 18-month low. Meanwhile, cryptocurrency exchange operator Coinbase has cut 18% of its workforce. CEO Brian Armstrong pointed to a possible recession and the need to temper the company's growth in tough economic times. Finally, the Bank of Montreal has cut its forecast for Canada's economy. BMO now sees GDP growing by just 1.5% next year. That's down from the bank's previous forecast of 2.3%. The report says growth will slow sharply starting in the last few months of this year as the Canadian economy reacts to rising interest rates. The bank is not predicting a recession, though it warns it won't take as much for Canada to get there as the risks around the outlook have ramped up significantly. Now let's take a quick look at the market close. One Canadian dollar gets you 77 cents U.S. Oil is down $2 today to $118.93 a barrel. Western Canadian Select is also down $1.35 to $99.87 a barrel. Finally, the TSX fell alongside many of its American peers, lower by 194 points. It closed at 19,548.51. And that's the latest from the BNN Bloomberg newsroom. I'm Kamutha Ramanathan.
To sports and big news from the Blue Jays tonight, they'll be without Hyunjin Ryu for the remainder of the season. The left-handed starter requires surgery for a left elbow injury. It still has to be determined if Ryu needs Tommy John surgery or a partial repair of a ligament. He's been on the injured list due to left forearm inflammation. Now, depending on the type of procedure, he may not be able to return next season either. Ross Stripling will continue to pitch in his spot.
The Golden State Warriors are just one win away from capturing their fourth NBA title in 8 years.
Checks out the seams. Green all over. Brown drives inside. Beautiful move with the left hand.
Vaughn's Andrew Wiggins had his biggest game yet with 26 points and 16 rebounds as the Warriors beat the Boston Celtics 104-94 in Game 5. Fellow Warrior Steph Curry had 16 points, but for the first time in his playoff career, and the first time in 233 games, he made no three-pointers. The Warriors now lead the series 3-2. Wiggins says he's looking forward to Game 6.
I feel like it's been so much. I mean, I watch it every year. But one that maybe stood out to me was when the Raptors played the Warriors, you know, in the finals, because I'm a hometown kid from Canada, you know, and the Warriors, so it's kind of just full circle. Now I'm here, you know, on the opposite side.
The Warriors can close it out in Game 6. That's Thursday night in Beantown.
Also on Thursday, the Toronto Argonauts play their home opener at BMO Field. The team didn't play in week one and will host the Montreal Alouettes, who dropped their first game of the season. The Argos are expected to compete for top spot in the East this year after a surprising first place finish in last year's shortened season. The team's GM, Michael Pinball Clemens, says he's excited about the upcoming season.
There's a great opportunity we have because of the base that was built a year ago. The team a year ago did a phenomenal job. After a couple of rough seasons and not making the playoffs, we ended up in first place. And we were up 12-0 at halftime to go to the Grey Cup. But we fell a little short there. We've now had a chance to reassemble ourselves, reveal, reset, if you will, I think it's a better word.
Kickoff for Thursday's game is 7:30 with lots of pregame activities beforehand, including food trucks and DJs.
Tonight, a look at the science behind this severe allergy season.
Itchy eyes, runny nose, tearing.
How climate change is making the suffering happen sooner and last longer. That's later on CTV National News. Join us.
It's known for fancy hats and royal sightings. Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall on hand for the first day of Royal Ascot. Other members of the family also attended the annual racing event today, but the Queen was not there due to ongoing mobility issues. She's been at every one since becoming monarch. It's unclear if she'll attend later in the week.
So the weather looks great there in the UK, but probably not as hot as it's going to be here, Jess.
We're holding on to that very summer-like heat as we head through the rest of our evening and into the end of the week, really. Right around the Golden Horseshoe, still kind of in that mid-20 range. It feels like 26 for the city of Toronto. Out towards Peterborough, it feels like 24. So a great night to kind of wrap up, you know, this beautiful day that we've had. Getting into the morning, we are watching for the chance of maybe a passing shower, even a pop-up thunderstorm through around 9 a.m., but already 21 degrees. Now, getting in towards the end of the week, we hold on to that heat. By Thursday, the Humidex value, 38, maybe even close to 40. But by Friday, a ton of sunshine on the way. And for Father's Day, it is going to be a beautiful weekend, 23 degrees. And a reminder, tonight's Lotto Max jackpot is an estimated $50 million plus two Max Millions.
Thanks, Jess. Be sure to join me later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Jessica Smith and all of us here, have a good night. We'll see you at 11:30.